Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30 and California's is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. This Sunday, our senior adult choir will present their Christmas cantata entitled Night of Wonder. Each year they bring us the message and joy of Christmas through song. It is a Sunday that both of our churches look forward to. They will perform at 8:30 at the Salem UCC and then at 10:30 at the California UCC. We would love to have you join us for this wonderful time of fellowship and music. Both Salem and California UCC will host Christmas Eve services. California UCC's is at 7. Our children will perform their play and we will have a candle lighting at the end of the service. Salem's Christmas Eve service is at 11 p.m. We'll sing, read scripture, have communion, and have a short devotion on one of the Christmas carols of Advent. On Christmas Day, the UCC of California will have their worship service at 10 o'clock. It's always special when Christmas falls on a Sunday. We'll also have a special communion time during the service. We look forward to you joining us for these special times of worship. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. I pray all of us feel great joy because God sent His Son Jesus for each one of us. That is the message of Christmas. Have a blessed week, and thank you for listening.
Candle is lit by the James and Lisa Milligan family.
In the New Testament, the word joy is nearly always associated with an act of God, and even more specifically, with an act of God delivering His people. The people of Israel found themselves in need of God's deliverance on more than one occasion. When they were enslaved in Egypt, God set them free. As they traveled to the Promised Land, God proved to the Israelites over and over again that He was far stronger and more powerful than the enemy nations who opposed them. When the nation of Israel was carried off into captivity by the Babylonians, again they cried out to God to rescue them, and God delivered them and brought them back to Jerusalem.
Each time they were rescued, the Israelites were joyful and rejoiced in God's love for them. But each time, they soon forgot God's deliverance and turned away from God.
In a cold, dirty stable in the small, unimportant town of Bethlehem, God again delivered His people. This time, however, it was not just for a time, not just until the next warring nation came across the river. This time it was forever, for eternity. God sent His Son to deliver His people, not just from the enemies who threatened them, but from their sin that separated them from Himself.
We can imagine the joy on the faces of the shepherds as they made their way to the stable. We can almost see the joy on the faces of the wise men who traveled a great distances to find this new king. And we can feel the radiant joy of Simeon and Anna in the temple as they came face to face with the Savior of the world.
God sent Himself to us to bring us life and never-ending joy. Today, as we celebrate Advent and think of joy, let's not forget. Let's remember and live each day in the knowledge and understanding of what God has done for us. We are delivered. How can we not be joyful?
Today, we relight the first two candles of the Advent wreath, the candle of hope and the candle of peace.
Now we light the third candle of Advent, the pink candle. This is the candle of joy.
As the coming of Jesus, our Savior, draws nearer, our joy builds with our anticipation of His birth. From the book of Isaiah, we read the words of our Lord.
But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating, for I am about to create Jerusalem as joy and its people as its delight.
From the New Testament, the words of Paul to the people of the church at Galatia.
Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness.
Children's Choir, God's Singers, sings What Can We Give to the King? Martinson reads our scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Christmas Carols of Advent, Joy to the World.
The first lesson this morning comes to us from Psalms, the 118th chapter, verses 19 to 29. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, the righteous shall enter through it. I thank thee that thou hast answered me, and has become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech thee, give us success. Blessed be he who enters the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, I will give thanks to thee. Thou art my God, I will extol thee. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. This ends the first lesson. The second lesson comes to us from Romans chapter 15, verses 9 through 13. And in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise thee among the Gentiles and sing to thy name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And further, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, he who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope.
We've been going through different Christmas carols as we go toward the Christmas and Advent season, and we've done O Come Emmanuel, as we did the first Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of Hope. Last week we looked at Hark the Herald Angels Sing, as we looked at a piece on that. This Sunday we look at one, of course. I mean, it's the Sunday of Joy, and what carol would you think of? Joy to the World. And there's lots of songs that we sing at Christmas time, and there's two channels on the radio dial right now, 98.3 and I think 101.5. that plays Christmas music 24 hours a day, 24/7. You can get any song, but there's lots of wonderful songs on the radio that have nothing to do with the Christmas story. They never mention Jesus. They don't mention anything about Luke chapter 2, Matthew 1, shepherds or angels or anything like that. But we still like them. One that I heard this week, and I saw little glimpses of the movie, I will carve out sometime in the next 2 weeks to set before the TV to watch one of my favorite Christmas shows. Has nothing to do with the Christmas story, White Christmas. I love the song of it. For whatever reason, it's corny and everything, and it's an old show from World War II, but Bing Crosby singing White Christmas, man, that doesn't get any better, does it? But he doesn't mention anything about the Christmas story there. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. That may be a great deal, but I don't see Jesus or the angels or Bethlehem in that. As I went to Salem this morning, rock around the Christmas tree, rocking around the Christmas tree, man, that's an upbeat one that gets you kind of going. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Another great song for Christmas time. Let it snow when I don't have to drive outside, all right? Let it snow all at once at that time. One I heard this morning, have a holly jolly Christmas, Burl Ives. Last night, I have to admit it, I watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I watched the whole thing. It's an hour-long show. I texted my daughter and said, hey, let the grandkids know Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer's on. They need to watch it, so they can have scary dreams of that abominable snowman coming to get them as well. They probably weren't very impressed because the graphics were pretty, very raw back in those days. But man, a holly jolly Christmas with Burl Ives. And then as coming in from Salem this morning, probably my favorite, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. I love that song. But again, it has nothing to do with the Christmas story. And when we look at joy to the world, and I will challenge you like I did last week with the last hymn that we sang, it has nothing in there. You will not find shepherds. You will not find angels. You will not find Bethlehem. You will not find any mention of the Christmas story. But it is still the number one Christmas carol in the United States every year at Christmas time. It was written in the 1700s by Isaac Watts, along with George Frederick Handel, who wrote Handel's Messiah. There's a lot of similarities with some of the stanzas along with some of the pieces of Handel's Messiah because Isaac Watts was a great admirer of his. It was about a century later, Lowell Mason came along and put the tune to the poem that Isaac Watts had written. And he was the one that kind of put that thing in the chorus where you sing the last line two or three times. That was kind of a thing that they did back in those times. But it was more focused on the second coming of Christ. And this song is not focused on anything from Luke 1 or Matthew chapter 1 or 2. It doesn't mention Joseph or Mary. It's focused on Psalm 96 and Psalm 98 and on Genesis. He was focused on the second coming of Christ. And so when you read or you sing that song, you can sing it both about the first coming and the second coming. But he was focused on Jesus' return and the great glory that would come with it. But when Lowell Mason came along, it got adapted and became one of our favorite Christmas carols of all time. But when we look at all four stanzas this morning, we can see how it can be something that we can focus on the first coming of Christ. When he came in the form of a little baby, to let us know about God's love and be an example for us. So this morning, if you're new to us, there's a little spot in your bulletin that you can write down some notes or you can write down some scriptures so you can look at them later. I'm going to be in Psalm 98 this morning. If you look up the history of joy to the world, everywhere I looked, it said joy to the world was based on Psalm 98. So I'm going to start in verse 2, and it says, the Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with the trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, your King. Joy to the world. Verse 7, let the sea resound and everything in it. Let the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. When we look at that first stanza of joy to the world, we see it. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let the earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room and heaven and nature sing. Each one of the four stanzas has that phrase that they repeat. And the first one is, let heaven and nature sing. We see singing at the first coming, don't we? When the angels announced, we talked about it last week, when the angel announced to the shepherds the great news, the great joy that was coming, the heavenly host showed up and they broke out in chorus. I wonder what tune they sang to let us know that a great and wonderful king was coming. We see in Revelation that when we come into the presence of God, when we step into heaven, there will be singing all the time. Revelation chapter 5, that we all fall down. We say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Jesus said, even when he was coming into Jerusalem and when he was making his arrival, that great procession coming in, the Jewish leaders were trying to quiet the people down. Jesus looked at him and said, "Yeah, you can quiet them down, but even if you quiet them down, the stones are going to cry out in praise." I don't know how many people get out in the morning or in the evening. I've told you that before. I love to set in, Dad and I might go hunt this evening, and I love the sounds of the morning. It's hard to get up in the morning, but I love those sounds as nature starts to wake up. You hear a blue jay scream or a crow scream as he goes across, or a hawk high in the sky. You might hear a whippoorwill. You might hear a turkey gobble or a cow moo or a sheep go baa. What you hear the sounds of nature. When you read in Romans chapter 8, it says even nature itself feels the pain and the agony of that sin has come into the world. It says in Romans chapter 8, "For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God." Nature cries out and wants to sing and give glory to its creator just in the same way and choruses with us. But when we're out, we see the destruction of nature. We see decayed trees fall down. We see dead things along the side of the road. This past week, we were out hunting on a person's property. We found a dead cow with a dead calf in it, trying to give birth. You're reminded of the curse of nature, that it's not all perfect because of the sin that has come into the world. But he tells us in that first stanza that we are to prepare our hearts for him, prepare him a room. And when he comes into our life, we are filled with singing and joy to let him know that our lives are filled and have been renewed. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 11 says that he will come and create a new heaven and a new earth. That he's going to renovate what we see around us. There is beauty in what we see. But one day he's going to make it even more than we can ever imagine, so that heaven and nature can sing together. But then we come to the second stanza there, and it says, "Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy." Repeat the sounding joy. At Christmas time, I asked the people out, the kids at children's time, about what do they remember, what gift they got for Christmas last year. A couple of them kind of thought they remembered something. I can't remember what I got last year. I'm sure there was a tie involved, probably some clothes involved, something that people really spent time to get me. But I tell you, for the life of me, I can't remember. Right? I'd have to be reminded. But we put together our family. We, instead of buying gifts for everybody, we've got this thing they set up called Elfster. I don't know if anybody else does it, that you kind of get your secret person, and so you're only going to give a gift to them. But the way you got to set it up is you got to list the things that you want, but it also shows how much it's going to cost. All right? So you're listing all these things that are going to bring you joy. You're listing them not because, that you don't want them. You want them because, man, this is going to make me happy. But when we go through it, it says here that we are to repeat the sounding joy. The joy of Christmas is just not once a year or just a time when we get together with family. We'll have a family get together next Saturday, Betty's side of the family. It'll be a wonderful day, I'm sure. But then you leave, you start to miss the people are there. But he tells us here that when Jesus, when the Lord has come, that we can have that joy that's repeated day after day after day in our lives. That's the reason Jesus came into this world, to give us that joy that gets us through the dark times of the year, to get us through the difficult situations that we have in our lives. In Psalm 148, verses 7 through 9, he says this, and the Psalms are a wonderful book for us to go through when we're struggling and trying to find reasons why we can give thanks. Look what he says in verses 7 through 9 about how heaven and nature and joy come together. "Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all your hills, fruits, trees, and all the cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small birds and flying birds, kings of the earth and all the nations, you princes and rulers, young men and women and old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. When Jesus comes into our life, we can have that repeating joy that's just not one time a year. Or dependent upon a gift or a relationship, it's a joy that fills us when Jesus reigns in our life. But then we see the third stanza. He reminds us. It's all been joy and it's all been wonderful news. But then he reminds us in the third stanza of the reason why Jesus came. It seems kind of a verse out of, you know, that doesn't fit with the other three. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns invest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. What's he talking about there? He tells us that all of us, when we are born with the sin of Adam, the tendency to follow and the tendency to be one that disobeys God. He tells us there in Romans chapter 5 about this curse that comes. Paul writes us and tells us that, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. Because of the sin of Adam, death came into the world, and we're all affected by that. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged to anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. Think about that. Only one law had been given from Adam to Moses, and that law was don't eat from the tree in the garden. And Adam broke that sin. And because of that, from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, which was the Ten Commandments coming, that Jesus said all of our laws based upon love God, love people, that's the Ten Commandments. People started to die off because of that sin. That's the curse that Isaac Watts is talking about. All of us are infected by it, and that we need a cure. We can't get it from the health department. We can't get it from the CDC. We can't get it from some online remedy or over-the-counter medicine from our favorite pharmacist. The only cure is that the King has come into the world. And because of that sin that came in the world, our lives are infested with all kinds of different types of sorrows and challenges and thorns that come into our side. As Paul said, he had a thorn that was in his side. But Jesus came under that same curse. He lived a perfect life, and he died the death that all of us will experience ourselves one day, but then he rose from the dead to show that that curse has been defeated. No matter what death you face in your life, the death of a loved one, the death of a parent, a grandparent, or a sibling, or a child, he tells us that death has been overcome by the victory of Jesus. That curse has been defeated, and no more infests the ground. But then he comes right back to the reason why that we can have hope and that we can have a joyful song, joy to the world. It's in the very fourth stanza. It says, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. And the wonders of his love. The only way that we can stand in the presence of God is because of his love. And it says that he rules in truth and grace. When Jesus stood before Pilate, was getting ready to be condemned by death, Jesus told him that he came into the world to testify to the truth, and everyone on his side of truth listens to him. And when Thomas asked him, he says, Jesus, we don't know where you're going. What was Jesus' answer? I am the way, I am the life, I am the truth. The only way that we can know the truth and the peace and the grace of God is by knowing his word. More than just the Christmas story that we're going to see at our Christmas Eve program, we're going to hear it sung about in our Christmas cantata. It's day after day, open ourselves up to the truth of God through his word, through our phones, through the songs and the message that come to encourage us. But he also then tells us that his kingdom is going to be grace. I think the reason Paul told his story so many times is that he was amazed by the wonders of God's love. How could a man that was killing Christians, that was living an evil life, have God tap him on the head, blind him, and make him a servant for Christ? He says it's because everybody else could see the example of God's grace in real time, so they could be the ones that would know that God loves them. If he could love me, he can love you also. Joy to the world. Jesus said it this way to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life." The question is, does Jesus rule in your life? As I prepared for this sermon, we've already read it, verse 15, or chapter 15 of Romans, verse 13. It mentions all three of our themes of our Advent Sundays. It talks about the hope that comes from God and the joy and the peace that come as we trust him. We can only have that hope, that joy, and that peace if we trust in Jesus. Just as it said in the very first stanza, let every heart prepare him room. The only way that you cannot receive the grace and truth of Christ is if you fill your room up with other things and say, nope, I don't have any room for you today. I mean, there's a spare bedroom that you can take, you know, a couple times a year, but the main room, the living room, is mine. You can be there. I'll knock on the door when I need you. Jesus talks about that in Revelation chapter 3, that I stand at the door and knock. And we see the story of Jesus as a place that was full. Joseph and Mary came, and the inn was full. Does Jesus come to your life? Does he come to your heart? Are you prepared to receive him? But how do we receive and how do we prepare our hearts for Christ? Our three hymns tell us today, O come all ye faithful. I think it was the third stanza that said, we would embrace thee with love and awe. We would embrace thee with love and awe. At Christmas time, are you filled with love and awe? When you think the creator of the universe sent his son in the form of a baby, we experienced that this morning, the beautiful blue eyes of Lottie, that he sent his son to grow up for these years to show us and then experience the death that all of us will experience one day so that we can see that we would have victory over death. But then we see in angels we have heard on high that we're going to sing in just a moment. It says, come and adore him on bended knee. Are you ready to become before the Lord and on your bended knee in love and awe and faithfulness and prepare your heart for room for him? That's what it takes. It takes humility so we can experience that love, that joy, and that peace. And it only comes as we trust him. What did the wise men do and what did the shepherds do when they came to the manger? They got down on their knees. This morning, the joy to the world that comes into our lives only comes when we bow before him in humility and in faithfulness and in wonder and awe. This morning, this Advent season, this Christmas season, won't you make room? Clear out all the clutter, all the things that are meaningless, and bring in the most important gift that God ever gave us, his son, through the grace and truth. This morning, we're going to sing the song, Joy to the World. We can sing it because of the first coming that he came, but we also sing it in faithfulness for the second return that comes when all these things will be done away with and we can glance upon the face of God and see our Savior for the first time face to face. So let's sing this morning, Joy to the World.